This is the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Now, here are Denise and Hunter, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody, to this Monday edition of Newsmakers at Noon. I am Denise Quinn.
And this is Hunter Newton.
And here we are again. We got another short week. We should do a programming note here.
Yes, we just actually heard that consumer cellular promotion.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
So, yes, we will not be on the air this Thursday because Warren and I are going to be out at consumer cellular between 11:30 and 1:30 on Thursday afternoon.
Big doings, exciting stuff. Hugh sitting in for us. Hugh helping us out.
Yeah, Hugh's helping us out because, you know, we want this to be a big event. And I know they've got giveaways and goodies and all sorts of fun stuff. So worth coming out, worth tuning in. And Warren and I will be out there representing KYKN.
Awesome, awesome. I heard Warren this morning. It's like, I heard something about donuts or something. It's like, okay, way to get the people to come out.
All it takes is some donuts. Come on.
We're easy. But that's exciting. That's really exciting for the Salem area. Okay, we're going to jump right in. So, yes, we have a short week. We've got a jam-packed week. We've got great guests, and we're going to get started right now. In the studio with us is Kirk Purdy, and on the phone with us is Reed Saunders. They're both with a Christian ministry based here in Salem, the Reed Saunders Association. Gentlemen, welcome to you both. It is so wonderful to have you on the show today.
Oh, such a joy to be with you, Denise and Hunter. We love 1430 KYKN. We love the sponsors, and just a great joy to be here.
Wonderful.
Yes. Thank you, Hunter, Denise. It's an honor to be on the show. All for Jesus.
Yes. Amen. All for Jesus. Amen to that. So you are part of the Reed Saunders Association. Reed, you're a graduate of Corbin University. You guys have been in and around the Salem area. You've done something. You had the National Day of Prayer. Let's just give our listeners a little bit of backstory on the work that both of you gentlemen do.
Yeah, I'll just jump in, and Reed has a lot to say. You know, Reed's going into his 25th year of ministry as the association. He's from California, moved up here and went to Corbin, finished his doctorate at Multnomah. We have he's an evangelist, very much in the way of Franklin Graham, Luis Palau. We're based here in Salem, Oregon, but we do 6 international festivals a year all around the world. He just got back from Indonesia. I'll tell you more about it. We were in Thailand earlier, even the Middle East. That's a whole long story. Maybe we'll come back and talk about that in February. Went to all those countries and then left. And 2 weeks later, there's a war over there. Thank the Lord that ended. We're grateful for that. But we just love serving the local churches here. It's all about the work through the local church and touching people. We feel that reconciliation and peace really comes through that relationship with Jesus Christ. And so, Reed, fill us in a little bit more.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's an honor to be on the show. I have the privilege of taking the gospel to about 110 countries, and I love working through the local churches. And I loved our Jerusalem here in the Salem, Kaiser, Dallas area. And in fact, I remember one of my favorite festivals of all time was when we did Salem River Fest in 2007 down at Riverfront Park. We had like 70,000 people over 2 days, which is still, I think, the biggest turnout for our record here in Salem. And the Lord moved in a powerful way. But I love Jesus. I love telling people about Jesus. And just, again, want the listeners to know how much Jesus loves them. One of my favorite verses is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one only son, that whoever believes in him shouldn't perish but have everlasting life. And Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the grave. And all of you listen, I hope you can trust Jesus if you don't know him. And he loves you very much.
Amen to that. Thank you for sharing that. So I think that's wonderful. I think in so many communities, so many states, the entire country, we all need Jesus. And so the fact that you're out there preaching the gospel and spreading the good news is wonderful. Are you seeing more people coming to faith? Things have been challenging over the past 5 to 6, 7 years. Are you seeing more people deciding that they're coming to faith? They need some Jesus too.
Yes, for sure. It's been pretty incredible. Like Kirk mentioned, we go to some of the most unreached places around the world. You know, we're going to Japan next. We were just in Indonesia, Thailand, Vietnam, really, like I said, all around the world. But it's been incredible. At each of our events, just for example, this year, we're seeing between 20 and 35% of the people that come that don't know Jesus at the events put their faith and trust in Christ. Yeah. And we do everything with the local churches. So we're getting great feedback of people that have come to Christ at these festivals. They're now getting assimilated and discipled in a local church. But to answer your question, it's been incredible of so many people that have put their faith and trust in Christ this year from countries where they have literally less than 5% believers all the way down to less than 1%. So, yeah, to answer your question, the Lord is moving in a powerful way, and many people put their faith and trust in Jesus. It's really exciting.
Yeah, yeah, we're seeing that internationally, as Reed mentioned. We did three consecutive Christmas festivals in Hanoi, Vietnam, if you can imagine, a communist country, in 22, 23, and 24. Initially, 7,000 people outside, then 14,000, and then in December 2024, 25,000 people. It's a communist country. So this is all extremely rare, extremely new. And that's kind of reflective of what we're seeing around the U.S. as well. People's renewed interest in coming in things that are meaningful. What does that, what are, where's my life going? What does this all mean? And, you know, we're seeing that in all from the challenging parts of the homeless community all the way up to the White House and what's going on with the administration and some of those super strong believers that are there. It's exciting to see that, because really that's where real societal change comes, by each individual placing their trust in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I mean, we follow stories. I mean, obviously following what's happening in Nigeria, the persecuted church, I mean, worldwide, you've got to be in those countries to have that faith. It's a very brave, you're really literally putting your life on the line.
Oh, absolutely. You know, when we were, I spent 7 years in Dubai working and living in Dubai. And curiously, the in the Muslim community, even Christmas is becoming popular there. You'll go to the mall and you hear Joy to the World during Christmas. Isn't that strange? You'll see people in a hijab going to the Ace Hardware buying Christmas trees. Those are stories you don't hear anywhere but 1430 KYKN. So, you know, so there's hope, and Jesus is the hope of the world.
Oh, amen. Amen. Anything you want to add to that, Reed?
Yeah, no, I completely agree, to see kind of the hand of the Lord in opening doors in some of these places around the world. But even here in Salem, in Kaiser area, just the one-on-one gospel conversations I have, I would say 90% of the people that I talk to are open and having a gospel conversation. So they all give their lives to the Lord? No, but are they open? Yes. And that's why we're so excited for Dallas One Fest coming up this Sunday, working with numerous churches to have people have an opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus. So really exciting. And then we'll be in Roseburg next summer. So kind of taking the gospel across, you know, the Northwest and around the world. So it's exciting times to be a follower of Christ. I think the doors are wide open and the Spirit of God's moving all around the world.
Excellent. Well, tell us a little bit more about OneFest. I was out on the website. It looks exciting. There's all kinds of things, you know, to get people to come out.
Yeah, I mean, one of the verses that kind of carries us is Jeremiah 29:7. It says, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which you've been carried. Pray to the Lord for it, for as it prospers, you too shall prosper. And we all want to prosper. And that doesn't just mean financially. It means relationally. Sure. It means socially. Yeah. We want good kids. We want good families. We want a safe environment. And that's what the gospel brings. And there's been a group of pastors that over the last 5 years, they've met and put a one-day church gathering together. And last year we started a conversation, said, what if we kind of organize that and come alongside you guys, and maybe we'll do a one-day family festival completely free. It's this Sunday, the 28th, from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. We've been doing a lot of trainings out there. There's 20 or 30 churches involved. There's banners all out, all around Dallas. We're bringing the freestyle motocross guys, you know, the guys that jump all over, you know, like the Nitro Circus guys that were there at the White House last week. And, you know, some BMX guys, and then some great music in the evening around 6 o'clock. And then Reed will be, you know, bringing a message of hope found in the gospel. Right, Reed? You're going to be there.
I can't wait. Yeah, it's going to be at Roger Jordan Park, like Kirk mentioned. It's near the Aquatic Center. It's free. But yeah, I'm going to be talking about how you can find peace with God. I mean, you look at our world, there's no peace on the outside, but I want to talk about how we can have peace with God on the inside. And I'm going to share Romans 5:1, which says, therefore, since you've been justified through faith, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a great opportunity to come out, invite a friend, a family member. There'll be things for kids, great music. I mean, Jacobson Gray will be singing. It's going to be incredible. So it's free, and I can't wait. It's going to be awesome.
Well, and I love that you've got things to bring out sort of younger people, because I think a lot of what we're seeing is there is a renewed yearning. Gen Z, we see that a lot. It's like Gen Z is coming up, man, and they're yearning. They have kind of been in a world that has been very fake and very empty, and they are searching. And so I think this is wonderful. What are your thoughts on that, Kirk?
Well, I think, you know, there's so much anxiety around the world, and we can speak to this too, but everywhere we go, whether it's Asia or Europe or South America, you know, people are filled with anxiety, and the young people particularly are filled with incredible anxiety. And so the message, you know, that we want to bring, that Jesus brings, is that you don't need to have that anxiety, that you can cast your burdens on him and that he cares for you, right, Reed?
Oh, 100%, 100%. I love how John 10:10, Jesus says, I've come, you might have life and have it to the fullest. And true life is found in Jesus. When we put our faith and trust in him, believing he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the grave. And, you know, Jesus is the hope of the world. And it's incredible, too, though, how many people haven't heard the good news, though. Some of the countries we've been, I remember I was just talking to my Uber driver. I was asking him, you know, has he heard about Jesus Christ? And he says, no, I haven't. Where does he live? Is he in the town? So it's just amazing how many people have never even heard the name of Jesus.
Wow, that's incredible. I'm hearing a lot of interesting conversations happening in Ubers and Lyfts. A lot of people are being a little more brave to just say, hey, let me talk to you about this. I think that's great.
Yeah, it seems like our society, particularly in America, you know, there's been some incidents really over the last year or two with some certain things that have happened culturally. And there does seem to be that shift where people are saying, hey, I want to look into this stuff. I want to come back to church. I want to see what is going on. And the life-giving churches are amazing in this community, in Salem and beyond, in Dallas and Roseburg and around Oregon and beyond the United States. The message of hope is there. We work with them. We love the pastors that, you know, Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve, right? Yes. And to give his life a ransom for many. And that's the message. Even now, if you're driving, you're in your car, you're at the office, even now you can say, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry for the things I've done. I want to turn my life over to you. I know that you have a plan for me. And that's the message the pastors have. And that's the message, most importantly, that Jesus has, that you don't have to do this thing by yourself. You can be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can turn to him. And we want people to come to that faith. We want them to read their Bibles. That's the book. That's the key. And then to find a life-giving church. There's a lot of great ones out there, and we love them all.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything to add to that, Reed?
I would just add real quick on Gen Z. It's incredible. This next generation of Jesus followers that are hungry to know Jesus more and to share the good news. And, you know, they haven't found peace through the world or social media or anything. They're like, there's got to be more. And so these young generations have been running to Jesus, and we're seeing a lot of revival pockets breaking out in the U.S. and around the world. So I'm excited. I think this next generation's on fire for Jesus, and I can't wait to see how God's going to continue to use this next gen, man. It's exciting.
I think it's exciting, too. I think sort of the spirit of the age or the zeitgeist has been all about the self, and I think people are finding that very, very empty and very hollow. So I'm excited for this event. I want to give the website that I have here. It's valleylife.love/onefest. To go out and learn more about that. Reed, any other contact? People are hearing what you both are saying, and they want more, they hunger for more. Where do they go?
We'll have a link on our website at rsa.org, you know, and the Reed Saunders Association.org, and they'll be able to just check us out and see kind of the work that we do around the world. And some of the local work that we're doing, as important as ever, you know, bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to this community and beyond.
Excellent. Excellent. Reed, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I just want to say thank you, Denise and Hunter, for having us on. And I just want to encourage all of our listeners to know how much Jesus loves you. And if you know him, get out and share him. If you don't, put your faith and trust in Jesus today. He died on the cross for your sins. He rose again from the grave. And I want to ask all of you, just be praying for the festival this Sunday. Come on out, bring your friends. And as I would say, it's all for Jesus. He gets all the glory.
Amen. Amen. Thank you both. God bless you both. Thanks for being here. We'll have you back. This was great. It's just your enthusiasm and your heart is just, it's wonderful. So thank you both for being here today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks,
thank you, Denise. Thank you, Hunter. It's been a blessing.
Okay. We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Salem Clinic Urgent Care and Color Tile of Salem.
I loved having those two gentlemen on, Kirk and Reed. That was wonderful. And again, if you were driving, their website is rsa.org. Of course, as always, it'll be linked up in show notes.
Well, and I'm just looking at the promotional material they've got for this OneFest, and this looks like a very fun Sunday afternoon. if you're able to go out with your kids, family members, I mean, literally it's all free and yeah. there's things for children, BMX riding. It's been a while since I've seen the BMX, the freestyle riding.
Oh, and then the website for the OneFest as well. That'll be linked up as well. So you don't need to be writing anything down. Okay, we got to talk about this. I saw this over the weekend and I'm like, have we reached peak stupid on the left? algae. Think of the algae.
That's right. We love the algae. Keep it around.
Team algae.
Wait a second. It's summertime. At some point, most of our major waterways are going to have these toxic algae blooms, which means keep your pets out of it, stay out of the water, yada, yada, yada. And I'm going, but yet now we love the algae.
Well, no, we don't.
Oh,
I want it out. But apparently those on the left are the same people, you know, the little, the Antifa, the frog people, the people in the little blow up frog costumes are out there. They're actually over on the Capitol Mall harassing the National Guard that are out there because you've got people trying to rip the lining up. I saw something about a duckling that was poisoned and put in there for a photo op. And again, allegedly, because everything social media is all over this. This is dumb. Come on.
Well, I'm sitting there going, out of all of the things to kick and scream and make a big federal case out of, the water and the reflecting pool and the algae. And yeah, you're seeing all sorts of reports. I saw a little thing about one of these, you know, local news reporter reaching his hand down in there, yanking on the plastic lining.
Yeah.
And it's like, literally live on the air, are they going to hold him accountable? Is he going to get fined or more for kind of disturbing the peace? And the fact that we have to have the National Guard out there to keep the wackos from trying to screw things up even more. I'm just going, this is crazy time.
It is crazy. And it's like, you know, these people are destroyers. They go out and they destroy. They don't build anything. They don't add any light to the world. They just go and destroy. And you've got President Trump, love him or hate him, he's cleaning up Washington, D.C. It's all of our capital. And so we all want it. And of course, with the World Cup coming and Europeans discovering that America is like, rock on America, you're so cool. And then to have citizens in this country dress up as frogs, go out there. And somebody on this tweet thread here says, imagine being a persecuted Christian in Nigeria, turning on the TV and seeing this crap reported on CNN. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Well,
I just,
you sit here and go, these are the exact same people that, you know, what, 5 years ago, a dumpster lit on fire was a peaceful protest. These are the ones that were tearing down monuments and even the Elk up in Portland. These are the same kind of people. Like you said, all they can do is destroy. They don't know how to build anything, any positivity in their life. They just have to push it out and create utter chaos and destruction.
Destruction. And it's also ugly, and it's just ugly. And I'm really just kind of, again, I think a lot of people are growing very weary of this.
Well,
I don't know how many people are out there, you know, team algae. It's like, what are you doing? It's like, you don't like the way algae is being treated or whatever happened to that poor duckling. It's like, let me tell you a story about what Fauci did to beagles. Maybe get outraged about that.
One of those things that they conveniently don't want to talk about. And the irony now is they such change tactics that they're going to put on inflatable ducks or you know, frog costumes, and you know, now we're just having fun. We're just great people out here enjoying it so that you can see how weird we look.
Yeah, these people have no credibility, and I think to most Americans they have no credibility. This is just ridiculous. And again, it's all destruction. It's all about ugliness. I saw over the weekend it was the opening of the Obama library. Ugly. Talk about peak brutalist ugly architecture. And then a bunch of like words splashed on a ceiling that you can't read, and they don't say anything. The words on the side, there was a meme going around saying all the words on the side should say, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. That's what should be on it. That's his legacy, because that was a lie.
Well, I think it was the Babylon Bee posted a little story about because of the way the building looked from the outside, a bunch of grain trucks pulled up to get loaded. And I'm just going, well, it makes sense when you look at this big concrete building.
It
literally looks like it gets wider as it gets taller. And this, I'm just going, oh yeah, this is a bit of an eyesore. So yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if people weren't sure exactly what this building was about.
And it's $1 billion eyesore.
Oh, come on.
Because it can't. And I'm saying again, it's, you know, it's all about DEI, but a lot of contractors were not getting paid.
Well, where's the outrage? $1 billion? A government person spending $1 billion? How dare they? There should be outrage.
You'd think if there was any consistency and that wasn't the land of hypocrisy, but even the people around there, because it's sort of, if you see aerial pictures, it's so ugly. It's hard to, it's like, this can't be real. Is this a Babylon Bee piece? Nope, it's real.
Well, you know, it's one of those buildings that's probably going to be less and less popular as time just kind of withers away at it. And you go, yeah, what is this thing about? There's not windows. There's not a fancy look. It's just this big gray concrete monstrosity.
And it's funny because I think former President Obama likens himself as sort of an amateur architect and had a little hand in designing this. So it's like, I wouldn't let him be, you know, redecorating any rooms anytime soon or let him near any of that stuff. No, thanks.
No.
We see what you did.
That's right. You know, you may keep your couch. Come on.
You can keep your couch if you like it.
That's right. Yeah. So maybe there was something worthwhile. You know, have that put in the contract. You may keep your furniture if you like it.
too much. You can't make it up. Anyway. Yeah. So, but the algae thing is just crazy. It's like, are we over this? I think wokeism is it like smoldering and it's going to one quick light and it's going to come back. I just think people are tired of this.
Oh, well, all it is now at this point, it is something to kick and scream about for 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then they move on to the very next thing. You know, seeing a whole lot, you know, this treaty or whatever has been signed with Iran. And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's not going to last. They've said that before. It's going to go backwards. And you know, it's like, why are you just all doomsayers and you just absolutely hate anything going on and it's all because of one person? What are you going to do in 2 years when that person can't be your focal point of life?
I don't know. We're going to need some support groups or something.
Well, I just sit here and go, you know, it's a sign of attraction. You can't keep his name out of your mouth.
Yeah. And will any Democrats urge people not to vandalize the fountain? All right, come on back. We're going to take a break from the news.
The Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance, continues. Here are Denise and Hunter on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Green Acres Landscape and GA at Home.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I guess this is the first business day of summer. Because it's summer now.
Oh, well, congratulations. And
yeah, we made it
to summer. It's felt that way for a couple of weeks, which, of course, all the irony now is that, you know, now that we're in summer, we're going to have a good rainy weekend, as they're predicting coming up here.
Right at the end of the week, rain. Yay, of course. Okay, so we were talking before about, you know, the algae and the outrage cycle, the never-ending outrage. We have to keep feeding the outrage beast and feeding it. I came across this tweet last week. I don't know. Do you remember Laura Logan? She was a national and then she kind of went independent. And I, you know, however you feel about her, she makes some good points. I think she was on Timcast, one of the podcasts out there. I'm going to read this tweet because I think this kind of goes back to what we were talking about the algae. Now we're mad about algae. Mm-hmm. She said, this is a Twitter account called newstart_2024. Laura Logan just broke down a pattern that hits different once you see it. They keep creating problems that can never actually be solved. Racism that's unconscious. Masculinity that's inherently toxic. CO2 is the enemy even though we breathe it out. And differences turned into permanent grievances. The goal? Issues without end. Skin color can't change. Breathing can't stop. Masculine instinct doesn't vanish. So the problems stay. And so does the control. It's not about fixing anything. It's about keeping the fight alive so we stay divided and easier to manage. Once you spot the tactic, everything gets clearer. And he asked the question, what unsolvable problem have you noticed getting pushed the hardest lately? And but once you do see that, and I think we've all had a sense about that as he just articulating it here, it's so true. It's a never-ending outrage cycle. And today it's algae. Tomorrow, what's it going to be? I don't know. The ballroom for a while, we're mad about that. We're mad about people breathing, you know. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, we kind of need CO2. Can't survive without it, but it's toxic now. Okay.
And that's the thing is they listed those unsolvable ones.
Yeah.
But yet, because those can't be dragged on and on and on and on. I mean, it's we saw it with that trial of the high school student that stabbed and murdered the other one last week was the race issue came up back again. You can't drive these things 24/7. They need to come back and forth and be a cycle. So in the meantime, we need the small things. We need the algae.
Right, right. Yeah,
and how much we love and want to protect the algae in this one body of water. But everywhere else, they'll destroy it as quickly as they can.
Yeah.
You know, and you see it with pretty much anything government can get their hooks into, mm-hmm. whether it's the homeless industrial complex, whether it's money. They never have enough money, but yet, you know, they can't actually solve homelessness, because if they do, then there's no money in it. They can't solve, you know, the drug problem, because if they do, there's no money in it. I'm just sitting here going, this is government's MO. And, you know, they either don't intentionally, based on decisions being made, don't want to solve a problem, mm-hmm. or they find these things that you can't fix, and they give you little outs. Now, I've always gone to this, and it was actually a show a few years ago I sat in for with Faye. She was doing one of her shows, and she had an author on.
Yeah.
And she pointed out that a lot of this is, they talk about the race issue, especially with younger kids. Mm-hmm. You're white, you're bad, you're of any other
oppressor.
Skin color,
you are
one of the victims. Mm-hmm. And then as they get older, they add in the things of, you may be white, but if you're gay or lesbian or transsexual or any of these other things, now you can go from being the oppressor into the oppressed bracket.
Correct.
So you wonder why we have such a huge jump in, trans individuals in particular at this point in time. Well, it's because people have been giving it out to no longer feel like I'm the bad guy. And everywhere I go, people treat me like the bad guy just because of something I can't change.
Yes. And now, and you've got now a lot of detransitioners that are breaking that narrative. And we talked with Kirk and with Reed, just as far as Gen Z, and you're seeing especially young males who have been told almost since birth that they're toxic, that they're their natural inclinations to thing. We've been drugging our boys because they're boys and they're bored in school. And they're rejecting that and wholesale. And then you seem to have sort of the younger women and the liberal white women fully embracing all of that. So there's still this schism. And it is, it's a common tactic. Basically, it's create the problem, stoke the fear, and then present the quote solution. That's what we see in progressives when they're lawmakers as well. Same pattern.
Oh, I joke about it when, you know, just driving around, especially if you ever drive through Portland and you see signs and things like that, and you go, you know, it's better to be part of the solution than part of the problem, because you see these activist signs that make no real sense.
No.
But yet they're everywhere. Why? Because by putting that sign in my yard, I am now part of the solution instead of the problem.
Stunning, brave. And also, again, these are they're big, huge, sort of nebulous things that you can jump on the bandwagon, like you said, put a sign in your yard. You're not actually really doing anything. You're not, there's no skin in the game for you. It's very, very easy. I love it. It's like, they're so stunning. It's like, nah, the people who are speaking up against this in this climate, those are the ones that have some chutzpah. I was going to say something else, but they got some chutzpah, because it takes a little bit of guts to stand against the spirit of the age.
Yeah, well, and that's the problem is we've created such a, through social media and through actually mainstream media, have created such a hatred for people that are willing to speak out and push back on, mm-hmm. on these narratives, these victim narratives in particular, that those are the people that are really putting it all on the line to sit here and say, that's not reality. This is what's really going on.
Well, we saw that in stark relief during COVID. Any medical professional who came out and anybody who pushed back and said, wait a minute, masking? That's crap. 6 foot of what? Did you just make that up? And it turns out, yeah, it's kind of arbitrary. Mm-hmm. And the people that were out vocally speaking out against it, you were shunned, shamed, disinvited. You know, so we saw that play. That's exactly how it plays out. We've been through it. Mm-hmm. We don't want to go through this again, but here we go again.
Well, and it always just sat there with me when I started thinking about it. I'm going, so wait, if I am walking through a restaurant, I need a piece of cloth on my face because COVID can't sneak in there, but yet large smoke particles could. But if I sit down, that COVID is hovering 3 feet in the air. Yeah. So I'm just underneath it and I'm perfectly safe. We changed a lot of rules and made a lot of stuff up to get what we wanted.
We stopped the world. Look at how well that worked out. I mean, honestly, look at how well that worked out. But I mean, as long as you have a series of unsolvable problems, this is what you're going to get. And so again, with COVID the same way, and you know, what it did to children. And anytime anything is couched with, it's for your own good, it's for the children, who wouldn't be for this? The greater good, all of that, run, turn around, go in the opposite direction. You're being gaslit and it's not for your own good.
Oh no, the idea of the greater good is such a mockery. No, it's to take a loud minority and give them all the power and make everyone else bow down to them, you know, So then they can go out and have a No Kings protest, I guess, because that's pretty much the position they've been put in.
Well, when you look at the lengths, honestly, the lengths the left will go to keep perpetuating all this. What, you know, when everything came out about the Southern Poverty Law Center actually funding all the racist stuff that they were supposedly being against, they were funding it. They were funneling money. Okay, I'll throw an allegedly out there. There you go. But the documentation is all there, and so they were funding them these vile things. And again, it's always projection. Whatever they are accusing you of, those fingers are pointing right back at them every single time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and just imagine how much money just being funneled from every NGO and every other little activist group into that organization, so they can go out and pay KKK members to cause racial issues, and then they can speak out against it. I always go, it reminds me, and it was during Obama's presidency, speaking of that, when he came out very adamant against the gas companies, and he hated the gas companies. The gas companies were just the most evil things in the world. But when you look at his number, BP was one of his largest donors. And I sit there and go, so virtually they do this. I'm going to cut you a check. You can trash talk me all you want to the public, but at the end of the day, I'm who you're really working for.
And the other side of that coin, I do have to point out, because I am an Orstar geek and I like the sunshine laws, there's a lot of folks on the right that have been coming out, and I'm, this is over the past cycles, but they're getting big pharma donations.
Mm-hmm.
So it's on that side as well.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, yeah.
Well, I'm just using an example from my lifetime that really sticks out to me, because it was those early 2000s when the gas became a big issue and we need to really look into alternate energies and this and that. It was the eggs that started to hatch, and now are windmills and solar panels and electric vehicles and everything else began really in earnest at that point in time. But I'm going, but yet you are so embedded to the gas company. So that's an example. And I know it happens everywhere.
Yeah.
Our politicians, I agree with, maybe they need to start wearing sport coats that list their donors, much like NASCAR drivers do. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yes, it would be nice, because you kind of have to do a deep dive. And I saw a couple of years ago, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
When you see a lot of the Pfizers and the Lillies or the Eli Lillies and things like that donating, and who's taking the money. So, yeah, always good to know. All right, let's go ahead and take our last break. You are listening to Newsmakers at Noon on 1430 KYKN.
Now back to the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers at Noon is brought to you by Cozy's New York Deli.
All righty. Okay, just kind of to dovetail on our conversation about, you know, who's giving money to who and all this, just a quick reminder for all of us. Politicians work for us.
Mm-hmm.
They work for us, the American people. And we, as long as we have free speech in this country, we are free. We are allowed. We are welcomed. We should all criticize any one of them. Mm-hmm. And we can fire them at any time because they work for us. So just a friendly reminder.
Well, and while we're at it, we could throw that other reminder. It's best to vote. And that way you have even more grounds to sit there and complain.
Because otherwise, honey, I don't want to hear from you. Don't want to hear from you if you don't vote. If you don't even just do the basic of voting. And again, with a lot on the line and a lot at stake in 2026 in Oregon, especially, you got a big chance here.
Hey, just vote on the things you feel like you want to complain about. There you go.
There you go. I actually will undervote judges. We got to do something about the judge races. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I don't want to digress. We have a story that we were holding over from last week that you found. And now there's up in Portland called the Sports Bra, which is pretty much, it's a venue that caters to people who like women's sports.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming it's a small and distinct clientele.
It's
because I'm women's sport. I mean, I'm a woman. I don't care about sports.
So I saw this on the news, and I kind of dug into it a little beyond. And it's called it's the Sports Bra. Most people,
which is a cheeky, cute name. I love the name.
Yeah, and you got to wade through advertisements when you Google search them and things like that. Because guess what? But it's gaining a lot of national attention because it is the first of its kind. It is a sports bar dedicated to women's sports. And they have a lot of social media presence. There's a lot of talk of a desire to expanding right now. I believe they have a social media campaign going on. Virtually, it's a GoFundMe to buy a piece of the sports bra, where what their stated use of the donated funds is going to be is to expand, to set up a second location in Portland. They want to expand, I believe, like Boston, Massachusetts area.
Really?
They want very quick expansion. But this story was really more about what's going on under the curtain. Mm-hmm. And what is being found is financially, they're not in great shape. They had a large initial year when they first got out there and became public knowledge. And
because it's a
cool doors.
Concept.
It's a very cool concept. But very quickly, I believe in year two, they had about an 18% sales drop.
Yeah.
As long Gosh. Well as some which in the restaurant industry is horrendous. Right. It's a death nail to a lot of things. So as they're talking about expansion, they're also losing money as a single location. Somebody actually did it was the Sports Business Journal did a shallow dive into their tax returns, finding because it raises a lot of questions when you have that kind of a fall off, seeing that they've added some expense which isn't really outlined in basic in their basic returns and things like that. So there's a lot of unanswered questions on where some of the money is going. But then it also had me thinking that, realistically, a women's sports bar, it definitely is a set clientele where you're probably not going to have a whole lot of men feeling comfortable to frequent that kind of a bar establishment.
Okay. Is that just because it's just a chick thing and they don't want to be, don't they want to be around women? Isn't that a good place to meet and greet women?
I think so. But at the same time, men and women watch sports very differently. I go to my wife, who's a very simple, if we're going to a live sporting event, buy tickets and go sit at a football game or a basketball game or even a baseball game, she will have a great time. She will enjoy it. She will enjoy watching
in person.
Sports.
In person.
She never watches sports with me on TV. She will literally go in a different room to avoid watching sports on TV. She sort of even watches the Super Bowl. That's about as far as she'll go. and more it's for the advertisings and see what else, fun stuff.
And the crappy halftime show.
That's right. So that I think is challenge number one. Yes, you're focused on women's sports. So you're not going to get a whole lot of men in there to watch sports if the only thing on TV is going to be women's sports.
Yeah.
Women's sports are growing, but they're not growing. They're growing as a concept. They're not financially viable in and of themselves.
So the main one, of course, we always talk about is the WNBA, which is really honestly being fully subsidized by the NBA. And there's been some controversy with Caitlin Clark. Again, caveat, I don't watch any sports. I'll watch football, but I have to have everything explained to me because to me, it's like a big game of pig pile. And I'm like, whatever. But I always loved it. I remember when I was in school, I loved it. If I knew the people playing on the field, then I had a blast.
Yeah, well,
but other than that, I don't care.
Yeah, go into a high school game and seeing people play.
Fun.
That's a whole different scenario. So I sit here and go, so the concept of a women's only sports bar on itself, yes, it sounds wonderful. It's a one of a kind, it's the first in the nation, it's all the excitement. But when you look beyond it, it doesn't have the sustainability because very few women are just gonna go out and have a bunch of drinks with their friends and watch sports. They want to go and be social. If we're going out to a sports bar, and I've done it, I've gone with male and female friends to a sports bra to watch or a sports bar. I've never been to the sports bra, but been to the sports bar. We sit down, the guys sit around and they watch the game. The women socialize, they go off and they play some pool or whatever because the sports don't hold their attention. So I go, a lot of these sports bars, they're dedicated to kind of the repeat. You're in there for, 2 hours to watch a game. You're buying a drink every 15, 20 minutes. You're buying finger foods, appetizers, maybe a dinner during the time you're there. That's what they predicate on. So I go, is that one of the big challenges? Is people aren't coming in there, sitting there. They're maybe walking in, having a drink, and just kind of see what the ambiance is about. But then when the sports can't hold their attention, they get up and move on to the next place.
So there's women's basketball, there's women's soccer with that. Ugh, Megan, what's her name?
No, she's retired, but she
pulled the ladder up after her because then I don't even want to talk about men performing, just everything for girls and everything. But my hunch is with women who are into sports, they're into playing sports. They're not into watching sports.
Yeah. And I've yet to meet a woman that plays sports that will spend a ton of time even watching sports. Women's professional basketball, of course, we talk about that a lot. Tennis, of course, golf. Yep. You have soccer. There's professional women's soccer, and I believe this weekend there was a professional women's softball tournament here in the the Oregon. And I go, those are great, and that is wonderful, and I'm excited as a father to four girls that they have the opportunities to play these sports and be involved in these things. But none of my girls are going to sit down and watch a sporting event on TV and have it hold their attention where they're really invested in the game.
Well, it's going to be interesting. And again, that article you were mentioning, which I'll link up in show notes, was talking about if it's not making any money, the bottom line on any of these ventures is they need to make money, especially if they want people to invest into a franchise and if they want to send it over to Boston. I mean, Boston maybe had a beer, though, because all the Scots that are over here for the World Cup, I think they've drank all the beer in Boston. So maybe that's not a good place to grow.
Well, I just I sit here and I go, you know, when they look into it, the as a business, standalone business, it is not making it, is losing money. They've relied a lot on the crowdfunding side of things and smaller investments. Why? Because it conceptually it can get people excited and they want to donate, but these people that are donating, they aren't showing up, they aren't spending their money within the building. So you know, realistically, for expansion, for this and that, you're getting a lot ahead of yourselves if you're not able to put a successful business model on the floor and say, we want to expand this.
I think it's a cool concept. Mm-hmm. I wish them all the success in the world, but I think pretty much what you just laid out, I don't know. We'll have to see.
Well, I think there's room to expand, and it may be a scenario where you create a two-sided sports bar. One is the sports bra and the other side is a sports bar, where now you can kind of generate pass through traffic.
You can call the other one the cup.
That's right. Whatever it takes.
Sure.
That's right. Well, here, there's marketing idea right there.
There you go. That's free. All right. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. Again, I think there's room for everybody. And if there's an audience for it, they will find it. And that's the beauty of capitalism. If you've got, you're filling a niche and the people want it, they will come.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for me, that the biggest challenge is you are in one of the most pro women's sports communities in Portland.
Yeah.
And you're struggling in that way. So I go, going into a Texas, a Dallas, Texas, or somewhere else where women's sports isn't as big, I go, I just don't see anything like that happening. But I guess there's a reason they're looking at Massachusetts.
I know. I could see it working in Boston. maybe go out to the Cape. There's a couple of towns out there. All right. We're almost out of time, but I did see this too, and I'm excited because starting tomorrow, Burning Your Tongue is back in style. McDonald's is bringing back the fried apple pie, and I'm excited. I love those.
Oh, there it is. Mm. Something to look forward to at the Golden Arches.
Hot lava fruit filling. Mm.
I am guessing that there is going to be so many warnings on that container that says caution, contents are hot.
Yes.
Because McDonald's needs to make sure they don't have any other lawsuits, especially with something like that.
Don't make it 190 degrees like the coffee was back in the day. So that's a good thing. But I'm excited. I was at a McDonald's over the weekend, and it's not on the menu yet, but they were teasing it. There were stickers on the window.
Oh, they know how to get repeat business.
I know. I remember them as a kid, and maybe if they start frying their fries in tallow, we'll be back in business.
Well, and that's the thing is these marketers for these fast food chains, they know they have killer items that they put out for a limited time, get people excited, then pull them back and wait till the next round of let's boost our sales.
Well, I'm down with the apple pie. Never did get the McRib thing, though. All right, everybody, that's it for us today. We got another great show planned for you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been the Rich Duncan Construction Newsmakers at Noon with Denise and Hunter, presented by Hagen Hamilton Insurance. Live local talk that matters to you. Exclusively on 1430 KYKN, where Salem is listening.